What is up, you guys? Welcome back to an episode of Gals on the Go. It is Brooke solo today. Danielle is relaxing, taking a little week off, and I was honestly just so passionate about this topic, and I basically wrote an essay on this topic, and I was like, all right, I'm just gonna go off. So today we are talking about body positivity, body confidence, bikini body confidence, and I don't know what I'm titling this episode yet because I don't really love like the phrase of all of those things, like bikini body confidence. Like, I'm not crazy about it. I feel like we can do better, but I think it's a really important topic, and I've kind of started to dive into it on Instagram and on YouTube, and you guys have been super receptive, so I thought that this would be a really interesting topic to kind of dive into. Tips as well as things that I have kind of learned help me, ways of looking at myself in a more positive light, and hopefully some of the stuff will help you guys too. Very exciting. And before we hop into the episode, I do want to shout out our Black-owned business of the week. This week, we are highlighting KNC Beauty. This is founded by Kristen Noel Crawley, and she has this awesome line, you guys, of lip products, lip masks, and then some eye masks too. So it seems like it's mostly like self-care-y stuff. I personally got the eye masks. I got a 5-pack of them. They're retinol infused, so they're like super legit, you guys. I love this stuff. They are really like cooling too. I did them the other day. They're like, in the shape of like this little star, and I was like whitening my teeth. I had my masks on. I felt super indulgent, super self-carry And another reason why I love this brand is because they are carried at Sephora. So if you're shopping at Sephora online or whatever, super easy to just add it to your cart. You got to check out KNC Beauty. So we'll have it linked in the show notes. And as always, we are always taking recommendations from you guys of Black-owned brands to support. And we are doing the thing, you know, trying to financially support where we can. So love that so much. Check them out. Also, before we hop too into it, I just wanted to keep encouraging everyone. You know, the pandemic is really not over. I know state by state, even country by country. I'm speaking specifically to U.S. listeners right now because I don't really know what the situation is. I know in Europe, they're kind of easing up. I think it's just like a lot different over there. But I did want to encourage everyone to keep up with the social distancing, you know, wear your masks, keep doing the pandemic stuff because we're still in a pandemic. I think a lot of people just like forgot. I know even in my town, outdoor like bars and restaurants are opening up, and I still, of course, I go, like I have gone to outdoor restaurants, and it's been lovely and everything in my small groups and things like that. But don't just go out and be reckless and crazy, or, you know, wear your masks, do the things, and just keep up with it, because I think it's really important that we stay strong in this. And I know that cases are going up in a lot of states, so I just wanted to encourage everyone to keep going on that before we go into it. But now, with all of that out of the way, let's go ahead and hop into the highlights and lowlights.
Highlights and lowlights.
So my lowlight of the week is, I'm getting a little antsy here. So you guys probably know the whole jam here. I moved home in like March, and then I officially moved out of Boston a few weeks ago. So I actually don't have a lease, I guess, of an apartment right now. I'm just kind of chilling in between. But I've been home on Long Island. I'm moving to New York City very soon, which we'll get into in a little bit. But I just am starting to lose my mind a little bit. I feel like I really want my independence back. I feel like I love being around my family, and it's been really great to be around my parents and my brother and my friends at home to see them when I get to see them. But at the same time, I'm kind of just like wanting to go out and do my own thing again. And I talked about it last week. Being home sometimes brings up not the happiest of memories. I feel like I say that and people are probably like, oh my gosh, what happened? Nothing to do with my family. I mean, I dealt with like not minor, but I always like downplay it. But I dealt with like some bullying and things like that in high school. So it's not always when I get into my head about it and I'm like home and stuff. And I sometimes like I recognize in me when I'm like, all right, I gotta get out. And I'm starting to get to that point. And I know it's a weird time because of the pandemic and everything to be making like major life moves. So that's why it's like a weird in between time right now for me. But it is the summer and I have been able to enjoy my days outside, and we have a beautiful pool and backyard that my dad like it does so much incredible stuff. Our yard looks incredible. My dad's like one of those people, he's always doing like housework. Like my mom and I were just in her room the other day and we like look on top of the shed and my dad's like climbing on the shed, like, which is pretty high. It's like at least a story or two high. And he's shaving the trees like near my shed. I don't even know how to describe this. He's on top of basically like the building in the back of our house. Like he's like handy like that. So our house always looks great. So I'm very thankful to be in this house at the same time. But I think everybody has a right to, you know, feel your feelings. And we talked about that last week, like your feelings are justified when you have a bad day, etc. And honestly, most of my days have been pretty positive. But of course, I think breaking points are real things. And yeah, I just am excited to be independent again and off on my own. So I guess with the highlight, I was able to visit my New York City apartment this week. My lease technically doesn't start for another few weeks, but this was so random. But I'm confused at all of it because, you know, I worked with a realtor and this guy, oh, he's the super. That's what it is. Maybe I get confused by all these titles because this is my first time like truly having like a super. So the super is basically the person that you call. I'm renting my apartment, by the way. I don't own it. just to clarify. So I pay rent to, I guess, the company every month. But then the super is the guy who controls like the whole building and like the operational stuff. So, he told me, he was like, you know, no one's living in this unit. Like the previous resident moved out. Like you can move in whenever you want. But I was under the impression that I'm not moving in until the 15th when my lease starts. But we were able to get in there while they're still finishing up like repainting and touching up and things like that, because they do like a clean before the next resident. So the previous resident moved out and then I move in. And I was able to get in there and take some video content, and we did some measuring, which was really important because I needed to order a new couch and figure out what of my furniture from Boston is going to fit. So if you guys want to get an idea of what the apartment looks like, I know a lot of you guys are like so excited following along my journey. I'm so thankful to have you. You can go to my Instagram at Brooke Michio, and I did an IGTV video, and it's like just in my Instagram feed where I take you guys around the empty apartment. And of course, I'll show you updates, decorational updates. I really do plan on staying in this place for a hot minute because I just love it so much, and I'm trying not to move around as much because it is a real pain. But I love the building and I feel so safe there. And my family and I went to the city and we walked up a few blocks and we got some lunch, and it was just like such a lovely day. And I was so happy that I was able to get in there, and it just got me so excited and inspired to continue working hard and things like that. And I'm so filled with gratitude, I guess, these days that I really get to live such an incredible life. And I recognize my privilege to do all of those things. And I recognize it is because I started from a place of privilege and things like that. But I'm proud of myself for continuing to grow as a person and my business and things like that. So very excited about it all. Like I said, go check out the apartment tour on Instagram, and I'll keep you guys updated on here, you know, with the decoration update. I mean, it's hard because this is like an audio form, so I can't be like, hey guys, I got a new picture for my apartment. Like, you'll have to follow me on YouTube and Instagram. That's where like the more, I guess, like those updates will be living. But yeah, very thankful to my parents. They're the best. Like I said, my dad is the handiest. So he helped me measure, and we're ordering a rug for my bedroom. I think the entire apartment is hard floor, so I'm going to reuse my rug from Boston in the living room. And then, yeah. So my apartment in Boston was significantly larger, so I am downsizing in terms of like the amount of furniture that I have. But New York is more expensive, so that's just kind of how it goes. Although, like I said in a previous episode, Boston is expensive too. They're both just expensive cities. And I will say the city right now, when we went, it appeared 90% of people are listening to that mask mandate. They're mandated in New York City. And I would say most people are wearing the masks. It was like incredible to see. People, you know, are trying their best to socially distance on the street. But I will say there's definitely like a positive energy there in terms of like people and everyone that we spoke to, you know, in the building and whatever. It was a good feeling. So I feel really good about moving there right now. I know it's not the best of times, but for lack of a better phrase, I have to move on with my life. And like I said, I'm starting to crack here at home because I'm not used to being at home anymore. But it's so great living since I'll be living in the city, because I will only be like an hour and a half from home. So if I ever needed to zip home, I can hop on a train, or my parents can come in and pick me up, whatever it may be. So very, very thankful for all that because I'm from Long Island. Long Island also is in New York. I get some people who are like, think I'm from Jersey. I'm not from New Jersey. I'm from Long Island, is a part of New York. And I guess that's just on me. I just assume everyone knows what Long Island is, but I guess a lot of people don't. So yeah. All right. Now time for a current favorite.
These are a few of my favorite things.
Don't mess up all of my favorite things.
No shock, but I guess I haven't really fully talked about it on here. A lot of questions recently on how I'm doing my hair, and it looks like it's natural. It looks like this is just my natural hair. So basically how I've been styling it is with a wave, and I have never been good at hair. You guys, I've always sucked at it. When I straighten it, it frizzes up. When I curl it, it falls flat. I never like just got into hair. You know, makeup, I'll give myself a little credit. Like, I know how to do my makeup. To the point that it like makes me look the way that I want to look, you know what I mean? But hair, I never fully understood. But I will say, this tool really changed my life. It's a waver. You can get them really anywhere. I think at Ulta, Sephora, they probably sell them, Target even. But it's specifically, it's the Bondi Boost waver. Really like this thing. This is like just the brand that I worked with on Instagram to show off this product, and I really, really like it, you guys. It's an Australian company, but basically it's a waver, so it has like these little crimps in it. You might be thinking of it similar to like a crimper, like what maybe your parents used to use back in the 80s or something like that. And what I do is I section off my hair and I do the underneath section, and I really do it from like the root to the bottom, and I'll crimp my hair in a few different sections. So I'll do like the top and then the middle and then the bottom. Takes like 10-15 minutes, and I have a good bit of hair, so that's pretty good. And it gives me, when I first did it, I was like, oh, I don't like the look of this. But what you have to do is kind of like run your fingers through it and then spray it with some hairspray, let it fall for an hour, and it looks great. I think that it's just something that I've found looks good on my hair. Like I said, you can go to my Instagram. I know it's hard to audibly describe this, but that is how I've worn it in the past like 10 pictures or whatever. And I just feel like it's what works for me. Like, I can't believe it took me this long to finally figure out, you know, how I should style my hair to look best. But I think I finally found it, and it looks natural. It gives it a little bit of volume. Like at the root, I can get some good volume, especially if I kind of part my hair off. What is that called? I think it's like when you crown your hair, like you take your fingers and like run it back and like push it to the side kind of. But I feel like I have to talk about, you know, the waver. Like, that is it. I was going to talk about maybe like a podcast or something else I'm loving, and I was like, oh my gosh, how have I not talked about this waver? So crazy. All right, so now kind of hopping into the episode, like I said, what this is all going to be about: body positivity, how to feel your best, how to know that you're looking great just the way you are, kind of expectations that I feel like I've had to be or look a certain way as a woman, and things like that. But I hope that this is applicable to anybody, you know, gals, guys, anything. And I just want to say that I'm not an expert. This is just me speaking from my personal experience. And I always recommend people who want to talk it out to talk with a counselor or a therapist or someone who you trust, because I don't want to trigger anybody. And I don't think that this should be triggering. But if this is something that's sensitive for you guys, I do want to put that audible trigger warning in here. So that's what we are talking about today. So yeah, and I know that girls, I'm going to be speaking mostly to girls here just because that's who I've spoken with about it. I know that guys equally as much struggle with this. And I actually had a lot of guy friends in high school who grew up, which this is so problematic. They grew up doing wrestling, and you would have to like cut weight and like meet a specific weight requirement. And I actually know Gretchen for rowing had to do that too. But I know a lot of my guy friends in high school had to do this for wrestling, and they would have to cut like 5 to 10 pounds in like a week, which is so unhealthy and so unrealistic. So they would, you know, just do these crazy diets. So I think that that kind of gave some of them, I mean, I'm speaking on their behalf, of course, but I could imagine that that would give you, you know, body issues and things that it's hard to shake those habits even into adulthood. Now here we are, you know, 5 years post high school. I'm sure that that's something they still deal with. So I know that guys deal with it too. But I'm going to be speaking mostly to girls, just because I know like that's what I've spoken to people about. So whatever. And I know that there are people of all sizes and all spectrums that deal with this. Whether you are, you know, an extra small and you deal with being underweight, quote, that is a quote underweight. This is not like, I'm not trying to get into medical terms here. Like, that's just like if you feel like you're underweight or whatever. Or if you are, you know, wearing an XL, a large beyond that, whatever, that deal with it too. So yeah, this isn't going to be, you know, tips on how to look good in a bikini or be fit. It's about truly owning who you are and loving yourself. Something that I recently came to the conclusion of is that you only get one body, at least in this lifetime. I don't know what you guys personally believe, you know, reincarnation, all that stuff. I like sometimes do believe in it. I don't know. I definitely struggle with spirituality. This is getting deep, but I do kind of in a way believe in like reincarnation, but I do think that, you know, in this lifetime, you're only going to get this one body. Of course, that's what it is. So you have to work with what you have right now. I just recently listened to the Girls Gotta Eat episode with the Honeypot founder, Beatrice Dixon. And this really struck with me. I listened to this earlier this week. She said that if you don't love yourself, then all you can do is change it, because all you get is this one body. So it's either you learn to love yourself or you change it. Like, those are pretty much the two options, because what else is there? Like, you can't, I mean, I guess you can radically change yourself. And I think that there's a whole issue that we have in society with this expectation of, I don't really follow like the Kardashians and like the Jenners and all that stuff, but with the bodies that we see in the media where they have, you know, perfect proportions and the model body type where it's super skinny and thin, and, you know, is that what's found attractive? Like, I don't really know. So I think it's definitely something that we grow up with, and it's, I know that when I grew up and like would look in magazines and stuff, of course you only see one specific type. And I think that is changing. I would like to think as we get older, at least I see a lot more body, different shapes and sizes of all types, and just honestly more diversity too. We need to work on that as a world, but that's for another episode. So yeah, that line really struck with me, because it's like, you know, if you don't like your hair color, all that you can do is change it. Or if, you know, if you don't like the way you look in your body, like, you can work out and eat healthier, or you can just, you know, own it and develop that confidence, which I know is easier said than done, but we'll get into that. So I'm going to be honest here. This is just me being very, very real for the past. So I guess we'll talk about like my weight gain journey. So growing up, I was always a rather just like smaller gal. I, just being honest again, I went through puberty kind of late. I got my period when I was like 14 or 15. And honestly, I didn't even gain weight then. I started like, my boobs kind of grew like late high school, like sophomore, junior, I guess sophomore is like mid, whatever, like junior year that I started coming in. And then I worked at an ice cream shop and I started gaining a little bit of weight, but nothing crazy. And then I gained a bunch of weight when I went off to college. I definitely think that I've like leveled out since then. I honestly don't own a scale anymore. I think I own one, but I only use the scale when I go to the doctor, which I think is a huge tip. But so I don't really know like what I weigh on a day-to-day basis anymore. I kind of have like an idea, but I don't track, you know, this week I lost XYZ pounds, because I'm kind of just like going with life right now at this point. So that was like my experience. I kind of started gaining weight like in college and like later than that. And growing up, I was always really thin. I never really played sports or anything. I was just like a naturally like tinier person. I didn't really have like hips or, like I said, boobs or anything. So I had like really nothing to me. And then I remember I went to college, gained weight. But then I really started like looking at my body and like even feeling where my bones are. And like, I have a womanly shape now. I have hips and I carry a bunch of my weight in my stomach area. That's like how just my body is. And I think it's kind of cool and unique in a way that we are all made so different. Like, I know it's kind of weird to say, but like, it's so crazy to me how you could be talking to people and they could say, oh, I gained 5 pounds, and some people, you know, they gain their 5 pounds in their butt or in like their love handle area, and some people it's in their stomach or their thighs or whatever it is. It's kind of crazy to me how everybody is different. Everybody's different, but everybody is truly different. So if you think of it like a cool thing, it's pretty interesting. So yeah, I guess for me, I've kind of dealt with all of these issues more later in life. I guess like senior year of high school, I started going to the gym and trying to focus more on like how I looked and stuff. But growing up, I never really had to try. I just never really had a crazy big appetite, but I was able to eat whatever I wanted. But I was like the type to eat like 2 chicken fingers and be like, oh, mom, I'm full. I was genuinely full. And that's what it was. And then, you know, I went to college. I experienced the you could eat unlimited at the dining hall. And I think a lot of people gain weight in college. I would not beat yourself up about it if you guys are going through something similar or any time of your life. It doesn't matter what stage of your life you're in. Everybody goes through ebbs and flows. And like I said, the biggest recommendation I can make is not weighing yourself and checking in on yourself that often, unless you're like really on this weight loss journey and it's good for you. I just think my mental health has improved immensely since I stopped caring about what that number says about me. Also, we have to keep in mind that muscle weighs more than fat. So, you know, you start working out, you might have more muscle on you. So it's not really fair to look at that, I guess. I'm going to be honest, for the past like 3 to 4 years, honestly, like more like 4, I have really come to dislike summer. And this is so sad to admit, and I know a lot of people are in this boat too. And that's just because that means showing more skin and specifically wearing a bathing suit. And it's been really sad because I literally do it to myself where I limit the amount of fun I can have. Like, I've been invited to the beach so many times with friends and I would literally say no and make up these crazy excuses. Like, I can't, have to work, or like, I have plans with my family or whatever, just because I was scared I didn't look good enough in a bathing suit. I was literally placing these limitations on my life just because in my brain I felt that I didn't look good enough or whatever. And that's a problem in and of itself, because no one should have to feel that way. Like, it's so sad to me that I was like literally limiting my life and saying no just for fear of how I would look. Not even like what other people would say about me per se of how I look, but just, you know, presenting myself and looking the certain way. Like, and I think it was also because I didn't really have, you know, bathing suits or whatever that fit me right. Especially when I first gained weight, I was wearing clothes that were probably a little too small for me. I think people fall into this trap. But I have learned a few things and I've definitely gotten better. It still is something that is something honestly that I still do deal with. And when I have to be in a bathing suit, I remember even in college, like when spring break would come up, I would do like these crazy unhealthy crash sort of situations where I would be like, I have 2 weeks, like I just have to, you know, do no carbs or some like ridiculous things that are not effective. And then I would go on spring break, gain all the weight back. I remember freshman year I did something like that because I was like, oh, I have to be in a bathing suit in 2 weeks. It is so unhealthy to live like that. I've learned a few things in regards to all that. Number one is that no one's looking at you. I hate to be the bearer of bad news here. I mean, go you if you're on like a health journey and you want to like shine and like look your best and stuff like that. But like I said, for so long, I was so scared that people would say things. And honestly, no one's saying, oh my gosh, did you see Brooke? Like, I think she gained some weight. No one is saying things. No one's thinking that. No one's looking at you, because guess what? Everyone is concerned with how they look. You know what I mean? So no one has the time or energy to be sitting here and be, you know, criticizing you. And if they do, then they need to get a freaking life and they're not your real friends, you know? So I will say that no one's looking at you. You just have to focus on you and specifically the confidence that you exude. I think I've learned that a lot too. And this is life, you know, fake it till you make it mentality. But when you wear a certain thing, whether you're, you know, dressing kind of bold or you're in a bathing suit and you're deep down, you're really insecure. If you carry that aura of confidence, that translates so much more than how you actually look. It's all, you know, the fake it till you make it thing. And it really is true, because, you know, someone, a beautiful gal with a beautiful smile is so much more impactful than someone who's like, you know, shy and insecure. And like that translates more than, you know, so bring that good energy. I know these are easier said than done. These are just things that I have found help me. Like I said, I still do struggle. This is something that really helped me too. Get styles that flatter you / make you feel good. This is for bathing suits and clothes. Like I said, when I first gained weight, kind of going freshman year of college and even kind of carried, so I kind of yo-yoed back and forth. Then I would lose weight over the summers, gain weight again, and it happened. But what I learned is that when I sized up, started wearing the size that actually fit me correctly, I was squeezing into these mediums, and then I remember Mariah actually was the one who told me, like, went into her closet one time and I saw that she was wearing a bunch of larges, and we would share clothes because we have very similar bodies, and she would wear a large, and I was like, whoa, like, this girl wears a large. And for some reason I always had it in my head that going up a size was a bad thing. But then when you start wearing the clothes and they fit you better, you realize that the label does not matter, let me tell you. And I'm telling you that it does not matter at all, because the only person who sees it is you. And not that it should matter to anybody else, because wouldn't you rather, this is the thing, like, would you rather be squeezed to death in something that doesn't fit right, or just go up a size and have a little more room to breathe and genuinely look better in the item? I mean, that's up to you. I know some people like wearing clothes a little bit smaller. But for me, I would rather, you know, rock my body a little bit, have a little more breathing room so I could eat that extra piece of cake or something. That's just how I feel. I don't know. And I'm still coming to terms with that. And also just getting styles that flatter you. Obviously, own your confidence no matter what, whatever the heck you want. There's certain things that on my body type I know don't look great, but I just love them so much that I won't stop wearing them. Like body cons and things like that, because like I said, I do carry a lot of my weight in my like stomach area. So obviously it's not the most flattering, but I love it. So I'm going to keep, you know, wearing things like that. But getting the styles that flatter you in terms of bathing suits and stuff will help you with your confidence. I'll tell you, I've learned, you know, I love a good high-waisted bikini bottom. I love a good bathing suit top that my boobs aren't exploding out of, that I feel like I can be around my family and not, you know, be insecure and be like covered up the whole day. So I guess kind of discovering all of that stuff. And it takes time. I'm not saying that that's an overnight process for whatever size you are. It's going to take time to realize, you know, what you like and what you don't like. And I think all of that comes with like researching and specifically following people that are your size and that are of different sizes on social media, just diversifying your feed overall. For so long on Instagram, I followed everybody that was probably like a size 2 to 4. And they were, so they're skinny, they are, or quote skinny, I don't mean to be like, oh, that's skinny, but whatever, this is my definition, I don't mean to offend anybody, and I'm working on that too. I realize that things I've said in the past might have offended some, and saying that I wear a certain size so it has an oversized look is offensive, so I'm not perfect here, I'm learning just as much as everybody else is, so just so we know here. But I did follow these girls who, majority of them were also blonde, they did not look like me. I'm not going to sit here and say like I have like the most like darker features, but you know, I have brown hair, I have brown eyes, and I mean, when I first went to college, like people told me that I looked different than the rest of the people at Georgia, because I do in a way. Not crazy different. I'm not out here like, oh, I'm so different and unique, but I think following people that either look like you or have a similar body style to you is so much healthier, because then you're logging onto your app and you're seeing actual outfits that would look good on you or that you're inspired by. I found this girl on TikTok who she does like outfits on her size 6. I'm probably like a size 6 or 8, probably an 8 realistically. I get an 8 in most things. And she does these videos like styling, you know, outfits, and she says like the exact type of stuff she gets and how she wears it. And it just makes me feel so much better, because I feel like those are actual applicable outfits that I would like to wear then. And not saying that if it doesn't, you know, if it looks good on those people, it's not going to, like, if it looks good on someone who's not your size, it's not going to look good on you. It might. But for me, it just helps my confidence and my aura about myself when I see these beautiful girls who are my size, because there are a ton of them. And it might take some time to find these people. I know it takes time. And I hate that the like stereotypical influencer is this one size. It sucks, honestly, that that's just the world that we're in, that like the quote influencers of the world are all like a specific size. And I don't know. It's just sad to me. And I know that there are there are beautiful influencers of every size, but you guys know what I'm talking about. The stereotypical model, blogger, influencer is like a size 2, and it just sucks. But that's what it is. Something I've also recently come to terms with is that I just want to, you know, feel comfortable and feel awesome. So that's why I have just started kind of more hitting that acceptance phase. And like I said, this kind of ties into everything. Wearing the size that actually fits me, carrying the confidence, following people of different sizes than my size, also just diversifying your feed overall. I mean, I could go on a whole rant about how everybody probably needs to look inward and do this. And it doesn't even need to be bloggers and models and influencers. Go in and follow some awesome quote accounts, or follow, you know, a dog page, like whatever. Follow people that bring you joy, because I have been there, where I'm in that toxic mindset where everything on social media is just horrible, horrible, horrible. Follow people that you want to follow. So yeah, I've definitely been in situations where I have been negatively impacted as a size, like as a large gal, as a size large, I guess. That's probably like the size that I wear. I remember one time I was on this brand trip, and I don't think I was even asked my size, but there was this rack of clothes, and it was basically like we're taking pictures the whole day. And 9 out of 10 items on the rack were like a size 2 or an extra small. Now, I just think that brands need to kind of get with it. And I know that this all starts within, it starts with the consumer. So like you as a purchaser, you know, purchasing from companies that do include size inclusivity and diversity and things like that too. But it's just a shame that the industry is this way and like that people don't think about it. You know, maybe because the employees at the company were that size, so maybe whatever. But it just made me feel so uncomfortable and unconfident. And just assuming that all quote influencers are the same size slash look, like, come on, we're in 2020. Like, what type of world do we live in? Yeah. Also, I've noticed that size, I hate that it has become this thing where it's like in categories. And I actually saw this TikTok where it was like a girl who's similar to my size. And she was like, I can't say I'm skinny because then everyone will call me fat. But I can't say that I'm fat because then everyone's going to call me skinny. And I hate that it has to be this thing where it's like you're in a specific like bucket almost. Why can't we just be ourselves? I'm like ranting so much right now. But like I said, I'm like a medium, mostly large in clothes. And most of the time I am like for a lot of my friends, I think I'm like the biggest one, which is not a problem. And I don't mean it like that. I've come to terms that with my body being a little bit bigger, guess what? I have bigger boobs. That's kind of cool. You know, like I said, I'm a woman now. I have actual hips. But I do also have long legs and I know that I have big lips. So there are so many things about my body that I do love. So that's just stuff too. But anyways, I hate that it has to be these categories, but I did find out that like being this size, they consider it mid-size. I don't know if that's going to help anybody out there who might be similar to me. I don't know. And then I was able to look up on Instagram and TikTok, like I said, mid-sized girls and find a lot more inspiration in terms of fashion and just lifestyle and things like that there. So yeah, I grew up in a household where eating was just something that was never questioned. I never really grew up with like diet culture. I mean, my mom would diet sometimes, but I think it was so healthy and helpful to live in a house where balance was encouraged. We would eat like healthy dinners and things like that. But then, you know, we would eat cake and stuff like it because my mom works in food. And that was something that food was tied to celebration and happiness and things like that. And I think that needs to be appreciated more too. I see a lot of influencers out here who, and you know, do what floats you. I'm not going to be out here telling you what to eat, but I see a lot of people who are out here raw fruits and veggies. I intermittent fat, which nothing wrong with any of these things, you know? But just doing all of these extreme health things. And I just think for the mass public, it's unrealistic. So I try to keep it real and be realistic for me, myself and I, because I love a good fast food moment. Like I really do. So yeah, I also wanted to say just some balance. I really do like balance in my life. I don't like feeling restricted, but I also realize how good I feel after a workout. Like I'm planning to work out after I record this episode and I'm looking forward to it because I know that my endorphin high will be incredible. So I've actually heard this term a lot, body neutrality, and I love it. The idea behind body neutrality is to help us steer away from self-hate without the presence. Oh, sorry. Let me rephrase that. The idea behind body neutrality is to help us steer away from self-hate without the pressure of having to love our body. Instead, it's about working towards a place where we respect our bodies, but don't give too much energy to positive or negative thoughts about it. That's from happiful.com. And that's something that's really helped me because I see all these girls out here who are like, I love my body. Like I love each inch of my body. And realistically, I wish I could be that way, but I don't. There are definitely things about my body I don't love so much, but can I reach that point of kind of neutrality and being like this body gives me the power and the energy. I have two legs and two arms that work. I'm able to work out. I'm able to go hiking if I want to go hiking. I'm able to go swimming if I want to go swimming. Like I appreciate what my body can do for me so much. I think every one of you should. However the heck that means for you. So I really like this idea of body neutrality and just being like, I'm going to be okay. And I'm thankful for what I have and, you know, we'll work on it. I also want to say like just a note on appearance because I know this is definitely something that's out there in the open. I'm very open about it. I actually met this. I'll start with a funny story. I was out at a cocktail hour when I first got my job last year and I met these guys at work and we like hit it off or whatever. We were chatting and then I saw them at the cocktail hour and they came up to me and they were like, Brooke, like, we watched some of your YouTube videos together. And I was like, no way. And they're like, yeah, we know about the, and they like pointed to their nose. And I was like, oh my gosh, like what? And they're like, your nose job. And I was like, oh, my nose job. And they were like, yeah. I was like, okay. And like, it was kind of like an awkward conversation. I did a whole video on it, you guys. I did get a nose job, back in end of 2016. And it literally changed my life. I'm not going to lie. So I feel like, I feel weird talking about all this stuff and being like, love yourself without admitting that and admitting that it did change my life. So if you feel truly passionate about something, I know not everybody, it's their nose. For some people, it's other things, and I don't want to trigger anybody, but I do want to say that that did change my life and my viewpoint of, you know, when I look in the mirror every single day, I've learned to love my face instead of absolutely hate it. And I know not everybody feels that way, in terms of plastic surgery and things like that. And I feel like I'm so two-faced now because I was just talking about like the Kardashians and body image and whatever. But yeah, it's something that has really helped me. So I do want to be completely transparent about that. And if you guys always have questions and stuff like that, I do have a YouTube video up all about my nose job. And yeah, it was something that I knew I wanted for years and years too. I think if it's something that you're impulsively like, oh, I want XYZ done, give it some time to settle in and really think about it, because these are permanent changes that you're making to your body when you go, you know, under the knife or whatever it may be. And I know not everybody has the financial privilege to do those things. So I am extremely thankful and aware of that privilege. But I will say that if it's something that you think will change your life, it probably will. So yeah, that's basically the tea on all that. Like I said, it all ties back to that one quote, you only get this one body, so you gotta love it or make the changes you want. And you have to, you know, identify those things in yourself. I hope some of the tips helped you guys. And it's something that I deal with, like I said, every day. It's a journey, truly, like body acceptance, loving yourself. And this is 'tis the season of bathing suits. So it is that season. I mean, in a weird way, I'm thankful that you can't really socialize much, because I just, you know, tan in my backyard in my bathing suit alone and like read my book and do my thing. This way I don't have to go out like, you know, in past summers or whatever, where I would, you know, be frolicking around in a bathing suit. So yeah, it's like I said, something I'm still going through, and I know a lot of you guys are too, and I just want you to know that everybody deals with it in their own way. It doesn't matter what freaking size you are. I know every person of every shape and size deals with this, and you should love yourself. But I feel like I'm like, I don't fully love myself yet, but like I'm almost there. But I really have learned also what I think as you get older too, you learn, it doesn't even come with age, it just comes with time, what looks you like on yourself. And I'm finally, you know, starting to figure out what type of makeup I like. Like I said in this episode already, what type of hair I like on myself, what outfits I like best on myself. And I think all of that kind of translates back to the body confidence and stuff like that too, just like self-discovery and figuring yourself out. So hope that helps someone. Let's have a convo about it on the Instagram. And if you want to hear more about loving yourself and the journey, let me know. I hope that helps someone. I hope I said all the right things. I get nervous talking about things like that because I never want to make someone feel less than, or whatever it may be. So now we'll get into a little Q&A/advice I asked you guys on the Gals on the Go podcast Instagram. So go follow there whenever we do an episode. I love ending episodes with a little Q&A just to check in, see what's up. And I asked specifically for some advice questions too, because I think, yeah, that would be cool too. Okay. Number one, this was very requested. Are you and Danielle in a fight? What's happening, etc.? No. And I'm confused why people jump to this conclusion. No, Danielle and I are fine. You guys, we chat every single day. We're best friends. We're business partners. We really don't fight. We never have fought. I don't know where this idea came from. I've also seen a bunch of comments, you know, is Brooke leaving to start her own podcast? Absolutely not. That is not happening. Gals on the Go, forever baby, ride or die. Does that mean that new projects might not be on the horizon? Of course not. Like there, you know, there's still other projects, but I'm not leaving Gals on the Go. Danielle's not leaving Gals on the Go. This is something that we are both in it for the long haul, and we have discussed that. So I don't think it's, I don't know. Like, I don't know where people are jumping to these conclusions with things like that. So I would just appreciate if we stop the rumors. And I know it's not everybody and people probably don't know about this stuff, but I have seen some of that. And I would really appreciate if we could stop trying to pin people against each other. I noticed this a lot with the Call Her Daddy drama too. With Sophia and Alex, who are two, they were two co-hosts of Call Her Daddy, and then Sophia left and Alex does it on her own now. And why does it always have to be that one is more favored than the other? Everyone's taken one person's side. You know, you're entitled to have your opinion. If you like one of us more, completely valid. You are allowed to feel that way. But let's stop with the pettiness and like trying to create problems, because there are no problems. And if I read more comments about it, they will be deleted. Love you guys. Okay, next question. This is an advice question. I'm getting random mixed signals from a guy. What should I do? Now, am I the person to come to for guy advice? Probably not. But at the same time, do a lot of my friends come to me for guy advice? Yes. So I think it's good because I give like a good outside perspective. If it comes to mixed signals, I don't know, what does that mean? You know, Snapchatting a few times a day and then not ghosting, but then like going silent. You know, a text, like a sentimental text followed by passive text or none at all. Hanging out, what, like once every few weeks. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, you guys, because I have been there myself and I wish I could tell myself this. Sis, he isn't fully in it. And it doesn't mean he doesn't like you. It might be that his heart is not in the right place. Maybe he just got out of a relationship, or maybe he's going through stuff. But right now, if he's not fully in it, he's not fully in it. I have spoken to a lot of my guy friends about this, and they always say if they like a girl, they will do legit anything to be with that girl. And this was a hard realization for me to hit. I've jumped through hoops for guys who have literally barely texted me back. It's embarrassing. I don't even need to go into it. I think back on it and I literally want to die. Not to be dramatic, but yeah, if they like you, you'll know. If you don't, if they don't, you'll be confused. One of my favorite lines, and it really rings true, and I know it stings and it hurts and you're like, no, he's different, I swear. I said that stuff too, and then it's not true. So, and I feel like you have to go by the guys on this, and like the overwhelming majority of guys say it. They're like, if I really like a girl, like she will know, like I will text her, I will send her the freaking flowers. Even if they're not that kind of guy, guys change to be with the right girl. I don't want to like be like, you can change a guy, but guys will change their ways if you are the right girl. And it's not to say that you're not deserving of love and things like that, because I don't want to make you feel like that. I know sometimes when I listen to advice podcasts, I feel like crap about myself because I'm like, wow, I'm just like garbage. Absolutely not. You are a gem and you deserve better than this person's going to give you. That just is it. You deserve someone who's going to text you back. You deserve someone who's going to, I'm like anti Snapchat these days, but that's like me. You deserve someone who's going to give you their time and energy and be a positive person in your life and not a source of stress. And if they're giving you more anxiety and questioning than they are, you know, that positivity and being like a supportive person in your life or like a reliable person, like, thank you, next. And I guess this doesn't count in like the, I know talking phases are kind of confusing because it's like when you're in the talking phase, you're probably talking to a bunch of people at once, or maybe they are, or maybe you're not, I don't know. Like right now I'm not talking to anybody specifically, but like, so you don't owe anyone anything. I don't know how to describe it. But if you're invested in this person and they're not invested in you, it's not worth your time. So I don't think it needs to be this big dramatic, like we're over, et cetera, but just like, you know, do a slow fade and move on, and you deserve someone better. Okay. What is your opinion on long distance relationships? Yeah, I've never been in one. I've never been in anything close to a long distance relationship. With the exception, I guess, of like seeing someone who lived in another state, but that, like, I don't think that counts at all. But I've seen a lot of friends in long distance relationships, so I can't fairly say. But the one thing I will say is I think it could work if it's the right people, if it's circumstantial, you know, for work or school or something. I think it could work. But I will say you can't compromise your whole life for someone. So if you are willing to stay with someone, and whatever, it does require commitment, of course. I know that you have to sacrifice things. Maybe you have to, you know, say no to nights out so you could FaceTime and things like that. Or if you want to make that change and like move to their city, just make sure you're doing it for the right reasons and you're not literally sacrificing your whole life for this person, because I've seen that happen too many times where specifically girls will literally do anything for guys and change their whole life around, their whole life trajectory. And then they end up with a broken heart. So I just want to give everyone like a fair warning. And I actually read in this book, a really good book. It's called Men Love Bitches. It's definitely extreme. So the advice in it, I would say I took 50% of the advice in it. And it basically, the themes of the book are that you always have to have your own life going on in terms of dating to make a relationship successful. And I think of my own parents in this regard. I know my mom and my dad, they love each other and they come together in the most beautiful way, but they have their own stuff going on. My dad has his own projects. My mom has her work. My mom would travel for work. And they have the most beautiful marriage I've ever seen. So I really took that away from this, that I have to continue, you know, with my, I'm applying this to me now, but like, you know, I have to continue with my work. And like, I've done it too, where I've, even for someone that I'm not serious with, been willing to sacrifice and just, you know, drop all my plans and whatever. So I think you could apply that same thing to long distance. You know, if you're willing to drop all of your hobbies and your friends and your career to be with someone, I think you need to give that a second look and be like, what am I doing? Because it's important to do your own thing. And guys actually like when you have your own thing going on. Like, it's weird, and obviously you shouldn't do it for that reason, but it does make someone more desirable when they're like, hey, I can't hang out tonight. Like, I'm hanging out with like my girlfriends. Like, oh, she has friends that are more important than me. That's like the whole theme of the book. I would really recommend it if you're single. I know some people in relationships that read it and they get a lot out of it too. But if you're a single gal out there, highly recommend this book, especially if you're post-college dating, very applicable stuff. It was written a few years ago, so some of the tactics are like a little aged, but I definitely like all of them because it's like, it speaks more to like phone calls than like versus like texting and more social media stuff. But still, really applicable tips. All right. Post-grad money tips. So people who are graduating and you're dealing with the finances of it all. Yeah, it's hard. I will say that. I think I'm not the queen of budgeting by any means, but I will share a tip that has helped me recently. And I've been really big on the saving recently, just with me moving coming up. And just, I'm just realizing that I have more financial goals in my life than to buy a designer handbag every once in a while. You know, I want to be able to buy a house one day or a condo or something like that, invest in real estate somewhat soon, hopefully in the next few years. And what I've been doing recently is when I get a paycheck, I put the vast majority of it in my savings account, and then I later invest and things like that, but we'll just speak to savings, put it in savings, and then I only use the money in my checking account as the money that I have. So I don't touch my savings ever. And that money goes, like I said, straight to investments, or it stays in a safe savings account. And then the checking is the money that I would use for rent, utilities, any other random expenses that I want to buy. If, you know, if I want to treat myself and buy some clothes, it has to come out of the checking account. It's not coming out of savings. You can determine what amount you want to do. I know some people say put away the 100, save the, you know, whatever you have left. Let's say your paycheck is, I'm trying to think, like when I worked at Oracle, like what my paychecks were, like let's say like 1200 or something, you know, then put away, I don't know what your rent would be, but let's say your rent is 500, you know, then put away 500 of it and then keep, I'm so bad at math. Then keep the 700 in your checking, pay your $500 rent, and then you have $200 of other money. I don't know. I mean, I'm not here like out here giving you like budgeting plans, but I think that's a really effective tactic. I would always say don't dip into your savings. Save as much as you possibly can, although it might be tough. But there are so many ways around, especially when we're young like this, like post-grad, especially in these times, Corona times, like you're probably not going out that much. At least I hope you guys aren't, at least not like bars and stuff like that, you know. And I've been eating home so much more, so I'm saving money in that regard too. I'm sure a bunch of you guys are. But you know what to do. I mean, if you're going out drinking pregame, only allow yourself to buy a few drinks at the bar. Don't spend too much. If you're going out to eat, you know, try to only go out a few times a week. Try to meal prep. Try to save money on clothes, you know, borrow from roommates and do services like Rent the Runway that allow you to get like a bajillion pieces of clothes a month versus spending $150 on a pair of jeans. So I don't know. I think there's like little ways of how to do it. I always recommend The Financial Diet. She has an Instagram account that I really like and a YouTube channel, and she always features different voices. I love watching those millennial money videos on YouTube too to find new tactics. I don't use any budgeting apps or anything like that. I just have my credit card and a debit card that I use for money. And I just always have the mentality save, save, save. And that recently shifted. And I think if you're not in that point yet, you'll get there at some point. It takes some time usually to get there. But once you start seeing that savings account grow, it's so much more validating than like stuff, you know? Okay. Questions about my New York City move. Are you starting a job in NYC / what are your plans there? No, I'm not starting a job there. I have a job, which is what you're listening to right now. Podcasting has truly become like a subtle flex on myself here. Podcasting has become more than equivalent to a full-time job for me. I'm making significantly more doing this than I was with my other full-time job, and I have other revenue streams as well. So for so long I downplayed all of this stuff, and I would just say like, yeah, you know. And I know it was a lot of the reason for my success is because of privilege and things like that and starting at the right time. But I will say that I'm proud of myself and how far I've come, that this is my full-time job. And there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes, a lot of projects in the works with Gals on the Go. And then I do run my YouTube channel and other social media. So I will not be getting a job. It just financially wouldn't make sense for me to spend those hours working a job right now. / I have no interest in that. You know, I'm open to getting a job again, but I think that I just have a more entrepreneurial brain, entrepreneurial spirit about me. I have always felt this way, that if I'm going to work hard and put in the extra hours and do these things, I want to see the benefit. And I call that selfish or call it entrepreneur, whatever you want to call it. That is how I feel. So if I'm going to sit here and hustle and like stay up late, you know, editing a video or working on replying to emails and stuff like that, like, I don't want that money to go to my boss. I want that money to go to me. I don't know, whatever you want to determine that as, but I know my mom feels the same way, and that's why she works for herself. So I think that's the entrepreneur in me. So for now I'll be working for myself, hopefully down the line starting some companies of my own, other projects on the way. But honestly, I'm very happy with the way that my business is growing and progressing. And you know, some people might say it's slow compared to other YouTubers who have blown up and, you know, have millions of followers, but I am more than content with the way that my channel and my platforms are growing. And I'm thankful for each and every one of you guys who truly know me and my family and my friends and are welcomed into like my heart and my life. And I share so much of myself with you guys that I feel like each and every one of you, like, there is no amount of followers or whatever that would truly make me happy. Like, I'm so content right now. All right. And we'll end with this one just because I know I have definitely way more to say on this stuff than Danielle does. Tips for having patience while using dating apps and dating app advice. It takes a while. You have to sift through a lot. They have to sift through a lot. So just know all of that. There are literally hundreds of thousands of people, probably even in your geographic sector. So yeah, it's a lot. You have to have patience. It might be discouraging at first, but then you'll get like a lucky little streak and whatever. I think it's all about the banter. So you have to, you know, put a lot of energy and time into like what you're going to say, but don't try too hard. You know, be natural, be true to yourself. I always try to include an array of pictures on there so that, you know, they get an authentic feel for what I actually look like, going off of what we said in this episode, you know, a full body picture, a close up. And it's so easy to use like the glam shots where you look like a literal supermodel. I know I try to do that too, but at the same time, I want to be realistic. I don't want to like catch these guys off guard and sell them on something that isn't really me. So I try to use a mix of photos too, where they can truly see me. I personally like when I see photos of guys and it's not like huge group photos. So maybe don't use huge group photos because it's unclear to identify who you're actually swiping for. And this is just like the Brooke tips of it all. I've also learned that people don't really care about group photos. You know, if you have those solo photos, use those. And be safe. Have fun out there. I know it's weird times. Like, are we meeting up with people from dating apps? I don't know. But it does work. I mean, I don't have crazy success stories, but I have met some cool guys from it. And guys that I probably wouldn't have met authentically just like at a bar or whatever, especially during these times. You know, we're not going out really so much and doing that stuff. So that's why I think it is truly one of the perfect times to hop on a dating app, even if you just want, I mean, don't only do it for this reason, but it is a nice little source of validation if you're trying to bounce back or whatever. It's nice to converse with people and just keep it lighthearted and fun. Doesn't need to be too serious. And if you're scared, I have a lot of friends who are like, I broke, I like want to go on dating apps, but like I'm like nervous or whatever, like I feel weird. it's not weird. This is the move of the world. I feel like this is the direction that we're moving in. And I mean, I don't want to say like everyone's going to have met their significant other on a dating app, but it's going to become so normalized. And it, or to me, it already is normalized, but I just see it in the future and I feel like it's going to be the wave. So I'd recommend it. Hopefully that helps. I mean, I don't have like obviously the best of tips, but I can provide some encouragement, hopefully. So that is really it for the episode, you guys. I feel like we covered a little bit of everything. Hopefully, body pause, the questions, the really everything. So next week we'll be back at it, probably with me and Danielle. I am in the middle of this move now, so if I'm not here, that is the reason. All is well. I just want to be super clear that it's just like, you know, trying to balance everything out, and I have to go into the city to wait for my movers to come and things like that. So we're trying to figure it all out and balance. But follow us on Instagram at Gals on the Go Podcast. Follow us at Danielle Carolyn at Brooke Michio, of course. And we'll be back at it again with another episode next week. Love you guys. Bye.
They're still out there, huh?
Oh, yeah.
You think they'll ever stop attacking Dad like that?
You know, maybe the driver should take us in through the garage.
Why?
Al, they're not attacking Dad. They're protesting the lawsuits. They're protesting against the women. They're protesting against you.
What?
Every time these people go to the doctor or the drugstore, whose logo do they see? Dad's. Who built the synthetic valve that's keeping their parents alive? Dad, you threaten his company, they feel like you're threatening their health.
There she is! You traitor! You bitch! Fucking bitch!
Mother's Day is just around the corner, which means it's time to find a gift. I always try to decide what to get my mom because I always am so proud of what I get her and she's always so excited. So I feel like each year it just gets hyped up more and more and I just have to keep impressing her, even though she would literally just love a hug, probably the same as your mom's too. But I love using a gift guide to find a perfect gift for my mom. Because she doesn't want anything. She just wants love. But she also does get excited when I give her a gift. So Macy's actually has a Mother's Day gift guide that's perfect. You can shop by price. So they have 25 and under to 100 and under. They have categories like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or you can use the gift list like for the mom who has everything. Or gifts that are already wrapped and ready to be gifted. And for grandma. There's so many different options that Macy's has. Some of their top gifts are the Dolce & Gabbana Devotion Eau de Parfum, Coach Floral Printed Leather Cassie Crossbody Bag, and the Le Creuset Charlotte Dutch Oven, of course. So you can shop all of this at Macy's.com/giftfinder.